The war that began on April 15th is spreading to parts of Sudan where it wasn't active, and it is intensifying, starting with Khartoum, where most of the fighting occurs. And in Darfur, where the government forces, the Sudan armed forces, suffered setbacks as the rapid support forces took over control of several army garrisons in Darfur. And therefore, the situation over the last 4 weeks, as outlined in Sudan Conflict Monitor, issued by Sudan Transparency and Policy Tracker, indicates that the fighting is really affecting more people in terms of its humanitarian effect, and it's more severely disrupting humanitarian deliveries, the forcing thousands of people to leave their homes. The situation is really serious and concerning.
In the report, you mentioned the potential Russian influence here. What are the potential consequences of Sudan seeking support from Russia in resolving the conflict? We have seen the deputy head of Sudan's Sovereignty Council, Malik Agar, who is on the side of the army, of course, visit Russia twice in the last 2 months. How do you read this?
Most of the armament of the army, the National Army of Sudan, are of Soviet era or Russian origin. And Sudan has also developed its weapon manufacturing capability with a lot of capacity transferred from former Soviet republics. And therefore, it is expected that the army would turn to Russia to replenish its war machine, because during the current conflict, it has lost a lot of vehicles, aircrafts. It will need spare parts for the functioning Air Force assets and so on. And that's why you would expect that the visit by the vice president of the Sovereignty Council, Malik Agar, to have discussed these issues, although this doesn't appear in the official communique from the visit. Malik Agar also represented Sudan in the summit held by President Vladimir Putin for African states. And again, nothing was mentioned about military hardware being shipped to Sudan, but I expect this to have been the main topic in the discussion between the two. There is another aspect to the Russian involvement, which is that of the Wagner Group, which is present in Sudan and which is engaged in business deals both with the rebel support forces and the Sudan armed forces.
Briefly, I want you to comment on the efforts made by different mediation processes to resolve the crisis in Sudan. We have the Jeddah platform involving the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. We have regional bodies like the AU, like IGAD, and regional actors like Egypt. They have all so far failed to stop the fighting. Why and what is the way forward?
Well, the diplomatic efforts to negotiate, to get the parties to negotiate a peaceful settlement to the conflict has largely failed, because there is little political will in either the Sudan armed forces or the rebel support forces to reach a settlement, with each believing that they can obliterate the other and prevail militarily. And this is contributing to the stalemate at the diplomatic level. But the failure of diplomacy is largely due also to the international and regional actors not exerting sufficient pressure on the two parties to force them to change behavior and agree to conclude peacefully. Another reason for the slow pace of mediations is that there are multiple platforms, and multiple platforms usually and inherently encourage the belligerents to shift their engagement from one to the other, so that they can make some time to prevail militarily, as I suggested. Therefore, it is incumbent upon the international and regional actors to really seek to speak with one voice, unify their efforts, and they need to coordinate very closely so that their complementarity achieve more than what a single one of them can achieve. This is what we are calling for in our Sudan conflict monitor issued today. by Sudan Transparency and Policy Tracker with the participation of HIND News Network and the Human Rights Hub of Sudan.